The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, and that, of course, means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. I am your host for the evening. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me at this time, none other than the man himself. Not the man himself.
Wrong one.
But it's the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
I knew what I was doing. Also, just real quick before we jump into it, a quick note of anyone who is listening to this, who supported me in the Ben Please Be Excited Mario Golf Tournament. Thank you so much. We raised, I believe it was just under $1,200 total for the Children's Miracle Network, and I appreciate anyone who donated or came and watched the robbery of the century, because I was screwed. It was a conspiracy by Ben himself, the NTO, the new Matt order. It's all just, it goes right to the top. So
you get,
it was a great time. I had a lot of fun, but I just want everyone to know that I will hold that against them forever.
You gave them the heads up that you were like this, right?
No. No, I did not. This was literally the... apparently, a lot of the people in that tournament did know each other, because, you know, they've all been a part of the Kind of Funny community for longer than I have.
Yeah.
So, but there were people who've worked together on stuff and like were friends outside of it. And then I just dropped my video, that golf one that we shot, and everyone was like, "Oh, that was fun! Like, that's a lot of fun." And then I just kind of kept going, and I don't think I made anyone upset at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was definitely not my goal. Like, I just wanted to be, you know, play the role of obnoxious heel to, you know, maybe get more people talking about the actual tournament to get more eyes on it so we could raise some money.
Yeah.
But everyone that I talked to, like, I was talking to Sightful, and we were in the chat beforehand, and it was just like, it was a good time. Like, it was all in good fun.
Okay,
you
good.
Know, just Ben enjoyed. I know Ben enjoyed it. So, and that's because he was kind of screwing with me too by the end.
Oh, thank God. Because I was like, Asa, you can't be wrestler around these people that don't know wrestler.
No. And also, keep in mind, you know, there was a big group chat, like a big Twitter chat that we were all in. Yeah, that we were, you know, talking and sending messages. And I was just like that last video that I put up, I was like, hey, so Twitter only allows videos that are 2 minutes and 20 seconds long. And this video is well under that, but it's still not formatting it. Does anyone know why? And they were helping me, like, troubleshoot.
Oh, okay,
shout out
good.
To specifically to Kumail, who was just like, oh, if you do this, like, streamable thing, then it should accept it. So,
word.
No, it was all in good fun. I'm not legitimately, you know, obviously I'm not upset at anyone. And ideally, no one got, you know, I'm sure people thought I was maybe obnoxious or a little over the top, but I had fun. It made me wish I had more reasons to do stuff like that.
Yeah, no. Well, you sent me the message after, I guess it was the last one, that you said you had to do like 10 takes or whatever.
Oh God, it took me so long. It was like a minute 30 video, and it took me like an hour to do, because I kept having, because like I just wasn't happy with it.
So, whenever I work on my master stuff for work or school, I have to do videos all the time, like all the time. It's been even worse since COVID, and that is a very common thing. I had a 30 or 90 second introduce yourself video.
Oh, God,
and
it
took me an hour and a half to do. That was the best thing Mike Bennett ever said to me, because I told him whenever I did a seminar of his not too long ago, and we were doing promos, and I said, like, I'll do the phone ones for like the Facebook page of the companies, and I'll like, it'll be like, I try to make it 90 seconds long, and it takes me like an hour and a half to do. And he was like, oh man, I do that. And that was enough to make me be like, all right, cool, I'm not completely like insane. So don't feel insane. We all do it. Mike Bennett does.
No, I was gonna say, you know what actually legitimately made me feel better?
That story.
Is you telling me that story when we were in Menards buying the shelves for the backdrop, and you were like, oh no, yeah, he said like everybody does that. And I was like, okay. So it's not just, you know. It also was a little bit, because like I also felt better because it was nowhere near as long as the golf one that I had you film, but I still felt terrible of just like, oh my God, he's having to watch me say the same thing like four times.
Which is only funny because you think I wouldn't, like you would think that I wouldn't care about that because that's how we started in wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like we just had to do shit like that. Like there were some wrestlers that, I mean, God love them, one and done, and I appreciated them. But like, yeah, no, there were some people that had to take multiple takes and it was always fine. We were just like, no, if you're not happy with it, let's do it to where you're happy with it. Brandon and exactly. I, barbed wire. Oh my God. There was one that I think we had to cut like four times and it was a long one. And he was like, I'm not happy with it. Let's do it again. And I'm like, all right, man, I'll do it. And so I was like, I had no problem doing that for the golf one.
Oh yeah. No. Cause it's the thing of like when we need to be better, and I say it's the royal we because I know pretty much everybody at Podzilla does this, and I'm sure many of our listeners do, where we don't extend to ourselves the same kindness that we would extend to each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you called me and was like, hey, I need to film this stupid bit for Stride, I thought of this funny thing I want to do for a promo, and I'm, you know, like, yeah, sure, and I'm helping you film, and you're like, oh, can we do that again? I wasn't happy with it. You know I would be there all day.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, no, we're going to take care of this. But when it's me keeping you there, oh, well, that's just out of the question. That's that's an inconvenience, and it's, I'm ruining your evening, I'm taking up all your time. And I know Shannon's the same way, I know Jesse's the same way, like, we're all just so insecure. Even though it's like, no, we love each other. We know our friends are there to support us.
Yeah.
And we would do anything for our friends. But like, well, no, but they shouldn't have to do that for me. It should. Oh, that's a one-way street. And that's not good. So if you're listening to this as we're 7 minutes in and we've talked about Mike Bennett and that's the closest we've gotten to pro wrestling.
He is the sweetest human ever.
Take that away from it. Not that Mike Bennett is a sweetheart because, I mean, dude, but extend to yourself the same kindness that you would extend to others. And things will get better. But there's a lot to talk about. We got two pay-per-views to cover, and it's already after 9. I'm not trying to be up super late. So, jumping into the news of the week, starting off with some very, very sad news. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff has passed away. It is not a secret that the last few months he's had a lot of medical trouble, and it's just, it's heartbreaking to see, but it's a bummer, but at the same time, like, you know, he's not suffering anymore. Seemed like he was deteriorating pretty quickly. So, it's heartbreaking. Someone pointed out that like, it's the first four WrestleManias Hogan, everyone that Hogan wrestled has now passed away.
Yep.
And it's just like, man, that sucks. And I feel not like worse or like feel bad, but it's someone who Paul Orndorff isn't someone that I really appreciated. Because he really wasn't around whenever I was watching. Like, I came in later. But it's, you know, it's easy to think of, oh, Hulk Hogan is NWO and Hulkamania. But he really was crucial in those early Hulkamania years as the bad guy.
And he was the amazing bad guy to Hogan. Like, he was exactly what Hogan needed for a bad guy to have. Orndorff played his role beautifully and all that. Tommy Dreamer tweeted a thing, or no, I was on Facebook, but he said the Heenan family, everybody from the Heenan family has passed away now.
Yeah.
And that one got me. I was like, oh man, you're not even wrong. And there's so many like people that you look at that and you're like, man, they should still be alive. Cause it was him and Bundy were the last two, and Bundy passed away last year. I think it was last year that Bundy passed away.
It was more recently, I think.
I mean, it might have been the last 2 years. It felt like a 10. So, but yeah, no, like it's such a bummer that we're seeing this. And yeah, Orndorff isn't somebody that I have followed or had an appreciation for when I was little either. I think I watched WrestleMania 1 was the like first time I think I ever remember seeing him. Because again, Village Video just had an ignorant tape library of WWF and WCW tapes. And there's only so much cruiserweight stuff you can watch because you already, like, I could just memorize the match at a certain point. So I had to go back and watch stuff from the 80s. And Orndorff was somebody, I think the first time I saw him was WrestleMania 1. And it's like, oh, this guy is awesome. Because I was still, like, 13, 14. So, like, I had an appreciation for him just because he looked cool. Like, looked like Hulk, but just as Jack, but different.
Okay, so I spaced out there because, so it's not the, it's, If I said the first four WrestleMania main events, it's not that, because the main event for WrestleMania 4 was Macho versus Ted DiBiase. But Hogan's match was against Andre as well. It was a tag match. But Orndorff, Piper, Andre.
And Bundy.
And Warrior was five.
Yeah.
So it's just like...
So the only two people alive from those matches now are Hogan and Mr. T.
Yeah.
From that first WrestleMania. I'm sure there's other people that were in that show that are still alive, obviously, but I'm talking about the main event. Because it was him and Mr. T versus Orndorff and Piper.
Right.
And it's like, God dang. Like, it's just weird to think, because when you say WrestleMania's been going on for 37 years, that doesn't seem like a long time. But whenever you start, and I mean, the amount of wear and tear these people put on their bodies, like, it's bound to happen. This is just the way that pop culture works, where people have been around for a long time. They're inevitably going to pass away. It's just a bummer when it happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that I'll remember, and not for a great reason, of we were at the store. This was years ago even. So it's only gotten worse. We were at the store. We were watching an old Royal Rumble. And there was like 9 people in the ring. And someone pointed out, like, yeah, everyone in the ring right now is dead.
Yeah, we would.
And it wasn't old time people either. It was like there were more younger people featured. And it was just like, man, it can be heartbreaking. So, but I rewatching, because I had seen it before. Like, granted, I had only seen it for the first time a handful of years ago. But I posted it on Twitter because someone mentioned it being one of their favorite memories. And it really kind of highlighting how great Orndorff was. But his heel turn on Hogan against the Heenan family, where it's the whoever it was that was talking about it. It was either on Twitter or Reddit, one of the two. But they were like, look at the crowd. Hogan accidentally hits Orndorff, and Orndorff is taking the time to like play to the crowd and like pointing at his face and like, no, he hit me. And you can see the crowd like, no, it was like trying to like pleading with him. No, it was an accident. You don't be mad at Hogan. And it was just like, you really, that level of crowd interaction is just something that can be missing a lot, especially with like current day. I'm not trying to turn this into like a bash WWE thing, but like, you know, when you're watching Raw or SmackDown, when there were crowds, they were very much making a television product.
Yeah, they weren't playing to the 4,000 people in attendance. They were playing to the couple million watching at home.
Exactly, which I'm not necessarily saying is a good or a bad thing either way. It's just that's how it is, because, you know, you go to the house shows, like look when we go to the house shows and the amount of like crowd interaction that's there.
Yeah.
And of course, indie shows, you know, you get that as well. But it's not a thing that's as featured as much anymore. Where he was just full on, like, leaning to the second row of just like, no, he hit me. Like, no, it was an accident. Don't be mad. You need to help him from Big John Studd. But it's sad. But, you know, hopefully now he's at peace. And all the best to his friends and family and everyone who is missing him.
Yeah.
Other unfortunate news, Bayley, the undisputed MVP of the Thunderdome era, out with a knee injury, potentially ACL, for 9 months. She was injured at there was some sort of mandatory performance center back on the road training thing that she got hurt in. By most accounts, everything I've seen, this was a freak accident is how they're describing it. But she's going to be gone for 9 months. The week before they go back in front of crowds, after her having carried WWE as a whole on her back through that pandemic era. Don't get me wrong, there were a lot of people that stepped up and did amazing things. But in my mind, Bayley is the undisputed.
Yeah. Just
she crushed it. Every little thing. Her feud with Cole, her feud with Sasha, her feud with Bianca, just...
Her still feuding with Cole during all of that.
Right, yeah. No, that's why I said her feud with Cole first. I like the idea that a lot of people threw out there of if she's healthy enough to travel, once she's well enough to travel, put her on SmackDown commentary and just let her and Pat McAfee just ruin Michael Cole's life every week.
I wouldn't hate that. I wouldn't hate that at all.
It'd be amazing. I would be so on board with just every bit of that. Like, no kidding. Where did everything go? Why is this?
Malachi Black debut is the next story.
No. I had like three separate windows open for stories coming up, and they just disappeared.
Oh, that's not good.
And I didn't know why, but I found them. We're good. But yeah, best of Bailey, come back soon, but not too soon. You know, come back fully healed, and she just, damn it, man, like this. Sucks.
She made herself one of those people that didn't have to wrestle.
She really did.
Like, she was just able to be Bailey, and it was super fun the whole time. Again, just my favorite thing from the pandemic era, and this might be the greatest thing that happened for WWE, is whenever she shaped Cole into the back of her head.
And he wasn't even calling her Match.
That was the best thing ever. That was, it's that level of petty of just like, she did that, and just for it to completely backfire on her.
That we aspire to be.
Yeah. And it just complete, like, you know, blew up in her face.
And between her being on commentary could be great. Her Ding Dong Hello as a talk show would be a perfect opportunity for her to just be an S-tier shit stirrer.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of possibility, but at the same time, I understand, you know, maybe taking her off TV for a while, and then when she does come back, is going to make an even bigger impact. But that said, selfishly, I want Bailey on TV all the time. That said, I do kind of think that they're not going to do that, because there have been pictures posted of Becky Lynch working out and looking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think she's coming back soon. And let's assume that by the time, in 9 months' time, Becky Lynch is a SmackDown and or Raw Women's Champion, which would make sense. Who's coming in as a heel who has that instant credibility to be a legitimate threat to a Becky Lynch title reign?
It would be Bayley.
And I'm not just saying that because I would kill someone for those promos right now. The Man versus friggin' Ding Dong Hello Bayley. Gimme.
Oh yeah, those would be a lot of fun.
Love it. But yes, moving on, next story. Malachi Black debuted last week during AEW Dynamite. You can listen to our live reactions to that because we read about it at the same time.
It's only funny because I literally talked about how this is the one person I want to see in AEW like 10 minutes before it happened.
Yeah. So we were watching, we were recording the show. We typically, I don't know about you, but I typically have Twitter up in case there is any kind of breaking news, because that's happened before.
Yeah.
See last week. And it didn't hit me that I think it was because we had kind of, I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but to me, it was kind of a given that he was going to go to AEW. I know there had been those kind of light rumblings that he might return to WWE, but between that video, because the main story was that Instagram video
he
put out, and it was just like, okay, he's not going back to WWE. He's going somewhere. It's probably going to be AEW. And we had what I thought was actually a really good talk about the possibility of the territory system coming back in a different way, but what ended up happening is, oh no, he shows up on AEW, and the time frame of when he was released to him showing up did not register even a little bit. It didn't occur to me that it had only been 30 days of, you know, the typical 90, because time in during COVID era, time means nothing to me. I remember Aleister Black doing the All Father vignettes 6 months ago. Like, nothing means anything to me anymore. So that didn't even click. But the reason he was able to debut after only 30 days instead of 90 days is because WWE made a clerical error on his contract. So it seems to be from interviews he's done that a typical NXT contract, the no-compete clause is 30 days. And when he was promoted up to the main roster, whenever the contract was updated, that no-compete clause did not get updated. So he stayed at 30 days.
I love it.
And so that allowed him to debut just last week in AEW instead of, you know, in August or September.
Because you know someone at WWE headquarters had a heart attack. And you know somebody either A, got fired, or got a really stern talking to.
Well, we know that for sure, because did you see the Buddy Murphy video?
Yeah, because they apparently were calling him, like, freaking out, making sure he was still under his no-compete clause.
Because he was told, he did an interview with, I think this interview came from Fightful with Sean Ross Sapp, but he received a phone call after he was released by someone from the office in a panic, asking him essentially about his non-compete, and, like, they, even though he was cut for budgetary reasons, that, hey, we will pay you for this extra 2 months to actually, you know, have your no-compete be what your no-compete's supposed to be. And he was like, no, I'm looking at the letter. It's August 31st. Like, mine was 90 days. So they didn't know whose contract was screwed up, because it turned out that was now Malakai Black's.
Do you understand, like, the reason for the no-compete clauses and, like, what they do?
Like, why do...
Why do they have them? Like, do you under... Like, do you... this is me...
Kind of...
This is me spitballing it. Like, why WWE has that?
A little bit, because one, I think it's because you don't want to have someone show up, you know, okay, let's say he was fired on Friday, and then on Tuesday, he's immediately on AEW. You don't want to make people think, like, you don't want to confuse, like, oh, wait, are these two things related? I also do genuinely think that part of it is, it's like, we want you to cool off.
All right. So
we want people to forget about you. And
that's what I was going to say. It is. That has to be what it is. Because I'm sorry if you, and this is going to be the story that goes an extra 10 minutes, and I apologize. But, and this is my big issue with no-compete clauses as a whole with WWE, is they're utter bullshit. There's no explanation that is not beneficial for the person that is being released. There's no benefit to a 90-day compete clause. Unless you're going to pay me the whole time, there's no benefit to it. The fact that they can say, hey, we don't need to give you insurance, we don't need to do this, we don't need to give you rides, transportation, hotels to stay at, you, that's all on you. But when we let you go because we realize we have nothing for you, we want to make sure that nobody has anything for you legally for 90 days. That's why this Malakai Black story makes me so happy. Because it's that one time where they really got screwed over by it. Because I'm going to say Tommy End just because that's what I'm used to saying at this point, because I've been saying it for a month now. But he was...
Yeah, because we've been training ourselves to break away from Aleister Black. We didn't realize he was going to be changing his name.
Yeah. So he was super smart in keeping very current with interviews and this, that, and another. His name kept getting put up for the last month. And it was never negative. He would just do interviews about his time in WWE. So by the time that he got this video made, and he did it just like Moxley did. It was genius. Only I think his was the day that he debuted was the day that video dropped.
It was.
Yeah, like Moxley's, I think there was like a week or something before he went to AEW. But it was super, like, it was super cool to talk about this vignette and being like, oh, well, I mean, I don't think he's supposed to do that because it hasn't been 90 days yet, but it's really cool. And it's like, oh, shit. How is he able to do that? Oh, WWE messed up? Good. I am happy because somebody was able to make a lot of money right after getting out of there, or right after being released from their contract. Because at the end of the day, there's no reason for a no-compete clause. There isn't. That's not for the employee. It's all for the employer. And that's why I hate him. There's no benefit to the worker that's being released. It's all benefit to WWE, and that's why I fucking hate him.
I mean, yeah, but you also, I mean, it's not like that's just a WWE thing, you know.
I don't hear of any other company doing that. In wrestling. In wrestling.
Oh, I was going to say, it's like, no, it's a very, very common corporate, like...
No, in wrestling.
Thing of, no, we need you to cool off. We don't want you to immediately go to another competitor. Especially when it's something like, you know, they don't want to have Medusa show up and drop the women's title in the trash.
Did you ever, I'm sure you've heard the WCW story with Hall and Nash and fake D-Zone Razor? Where
I feel like there's more than one.
Well, it was right whenever, like, so they started showing up on WCW, Hall and Nash did, and then like a couple, like a week or two later, they said that Diesel and Ramon are going to show up on WWE television. And since they were airing live whenever WWE was taped, they apparently WCW rounded Hall and Nash and said, "We will pay you more money right now if you don't show up." So they signed like a contract for more money, and then that night WWE gave us fake Diesel and Ramon. So you have
WCW actually thought that
they thought it was
Nash and Hall were going back.
Yeah, so they paid them more to keep them from doing it, and they were like, "Yeah, sure, we'll sign. That's money. That's Hall and Nash. They're just in it for like not they loved. I mean, they were good wrestlers, but they were also really big fans of money." So they had absolutely no problem signing a check or signing a contract for more money after they said, "We're going to have Diesel and Ramon on WWE television next week." And then it was fake Diesel and Ramon. And they apparently laughed their ass to the bank about that one.
Yeah, no kidding. Yes, I will. Okay, you know what? For you, you pay me this extra money. I will not show up. We will not go to Monday Night Raw.
So it made WWF at the time look horrible because they did that. And then it made Hall and Nash even more rich. And again, I love stories like that because
that's some clown shoes
bullshit
stuff,
yeah.
Right there.
But though, again,
from WCW, like, yes, don't get me wrong, the fake Diesel and Nash stuff was garbage, and WWE should be ashamed of that. But whoever wrote up those contracts that thought that, hey, these two guys we just signed are going to jump ship.
But they didn't have contracts yet. They were on like...
Okay. Well, that makes more sense.
It's not a favorite. I've listened to so many podcasts about this era of wrestling. But yeah, I think even Eric Bischoff talked about... I think it's in the... If I like watch the documentary again, the Monday Night Wars, I'll send you like, hey, watch this episode at this time, and they talk about it for 4 minutes. But yeah, no, they did that. And again, I love stories of wrestlers being able to one-up the companies. Because fuck them. Because fuck them.
Unrelated. And I've looked for this clip again, and I can never find it. Because, one, I think it got taken down because of copyright reasons. But there was a shoot interview that the Young Bucks did years ago where they were on a show with Kevin Nash. And he paid, like, the promoter paid just a buttload of money for Kevin Nash to be on the show. And... So he was there. He's in the locker room, and they were doing like the show closing angle was like a huge brawl with like the whole roster, and the promoter was like, "Hey, will you go out and just like clear the ring and do so?" He asked him to basically just go out there and hit a big boot, and that was it. And I'm pretty sure it was Nick Jackson doing the impression that was actually pretty good of just like, "Yeah, I'll go out there for another 10 grand. It's just like, oh, the fucking... You hear that? That's the sound of a giant dick hitting the table.
Thunk.
Like, not trying to get gross, but like, dear God, I love it. But yeah, I think because it was just a clip of the actual interview, and I'm pretty sure the actual like full interview was like, "Hey, don't put our stuff online."
Yeah.
Which is fair.
But no, good on Malachi Black for being able to find a clerical error. And it's a shame that Buddy Murphy, because if I was Buddy Murphy and they'd have done the same thing to me, and they'd be like, we'll pay you to sit out the rest of your no compete if you just like, I'll be like, yeah, but I would pull a Kevin Nash. It'll cost you another 10 grand on top of whatever. Yeah. I'd have been like, yeah, I'll do it, but you're going to pay me first. Like, that's not
right. Yeah, you're gonna pay me more, which I don't know if they would be willing to negotiate on something like that. That would actually be pretty interesting. Like, if he was in a position to actually do that, if his, you know, non-compete wasn't the 90 days already. Although it does kind of go with there are a lot of reports going on that there are people who were trying to negotiate their way out of the no-compete clause, which a couple people I know had that granted. I wish I could remember off the top of my head, because I actually looked this up.
Because again, at the end of the day, like I said, there's no reason this no-compete clause is not beneficial to a single worker in wrestling.
It didn't happen, I'm assuming, because I haven't seen my Twitter explode, which it better if this were to happen. But Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, or Jesse Kay and
Cassie Lee.
I'm blanking. Thank you, Cassie Lee, posted kind of goodbyes to their Billy Kay and Peyton Royce characters. So because today was the day their 90 days ended. So a lot of people were like, AEW. They're going to be on AEW tonight, and I don't think that they were. Because if they were, and it wasn't, like, blowing up my Twitter, I'm going to be disappointed in just every single person that I follow. But hopefully maybe they will pop up somewhere soon. So, where did we go? Next story, Candy Cartwright has dropped her suit against Matt Riddle. This is the woman who alleged the sexual assault against Matt Riddle. She previously had lawsuits against WWE, Evolve, Gabe Sapolsky, and Riddle himself. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but it's worth noting, I think, that a judge dismissed the cases against WWE and Sapolsky, and this is her willingly dropping the suit, so this isn't a judge throwing the case out. There could be a number of reasons that a case would be dropped by someone making a civil, because again, this is a civil case, this isn't criminal. Including the possibility of a settlement, the possibility of just the sheer cost of a long, ongoing legal case. You know, it doesn't necessarily, just like an allegation does not necessarily mean automatic guilt. Someone dropping a civil case does not automatically mean absolution.
Yeah. So,
but that's the story. That's what it is. Moving on. Super, super cool news. Probably the most exciting news of the week by far. NWA has announced that they are hosting the first Women's Invitational that is going to be happening on August 28th at Empower. And the winner of that tournament, it's a one-night tournament. The winner will be going on to face the NWA Women's Championship, or the Women's Champion, the next night on the 29th. Both of these shows are up in St. Louis. And the first participant has been announced, and it is none other than the Little Blue Dragon herself, Seisin Tootie Lynn. However you know her, if you're lucky enough to know her, you know that this is a huge get for NWA, and this is a huge opportunity for Tootie.
If you go back and listen to the June 23rd edition of PWU, this is a name that both of us said would be super cool to get.
Yep.
And again, this was just us just calling. It was like, well, it's going to be in St. Louis. Tootie Lynn is one of the best indie women's wrestlers going in the area.
Right.
And it's exciting. This makes me want to get a ticket. I kind of wanted to get a ticket before, but now the fact that somebody that's super deserving of this opportunity is getting it, I kind of want to get a ticket more now.
Same 100%.
She's awesome. If there's people that's listening outside of our area that has no clue who Tootie Lynn Ramsey is, she also goes by Seisin. Amazing wrestler, even more amazing human. I've only had good interactions with her. She's wrestled at CCW a handful of times,
including winning the CCW Women's Championship on her debut night.
Yep. The tag match she had with Little Bit and Sarah Summers and Savannah Stone. Was one of my favorite things, just because I think she said a little bit, "You're not my real mom." I think that was a line that got said.
She did, because that was the context there was a little bit was heel, Sarah was face, Savannah Stone was coming in kind of as a guest, and so was Seisin at that point. Well, no, she had been in it at a couple times at that point, but Seisin was a face, or Tootie was a face, and she was teaming with heel a little bit. And so, like, that dynamic was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Shannon loved her because she did the Sailor Moon salute. So, like, he was automatically, like, she became his favorite person in the ring. And I will say, though, there is a downside to this. There is one negative to Tootie getting announced for this NWA tournament. And it's because Big Lee and Austin Lane are going to now. Oh. If she thought the big time jokes were bad before, if she's ever in a locker room with either of them again, she's never going to hear the end of it.
One of my first, it had to have been my first show actually at the arena building, like where I was actually wrestling. So this would have been like early 2018 or 2019. Because I didn't wrestle in that building until January of 2019. I think it was January or February. And Tootie was running. And it was Austin came up to me and he was like, hey, I need you to go tell Tootie something. And I said, yeah, what's that? Tell her black and blue's my color. And I was like, Austin, I'm not going to do that. Because for one, no. And for two, you tell her. So we did. It was super fun. But no, Tootie's amazing. She's super, like, one of my favorite people to watch. Her match with, oh, gosh. It was at Super Show 3, Kelly Klein.
Oh, yeah.
That match was really good. I liked that match a whole lot. And that was one of those matches because, like, Kelly Klein put her over to the moon that, like, following day. And I was hoping something cool was going to come out of that, especially with Kelly being the ROH champion. Mm-hmm. But it's cool getting to see it now. Like, she's only gotten better. She's one of those people. And it's a deserving. I'm happy that NWA's Women Invitational is going to have fresh faces. This is somebody that is not super known to the national audience. And I think that Tootie's going to have a lot to prove on it. And she's going to deliver because she always does. Like, she's super fucking talented. So this is exciting news for us. And it's also fun because we called it. Right.
Yeah, we did.
Right. Wouldn't have said first announcement. Would not have said first announcement. Even Ew. Fucking cooler that it's the first announcement.
All right. Now here, I want to say in 2 weeks' time, if we don't hear about Lainey Luck, we're going to be mad.
If that happens, I'm going to quit wrestling and become a, like, only YouTube wrestling personality and just call shit. Also, I don't like the way the new belt looks.
Oh, we're going to fight.
Yeah.
Not on air, though. I'm just going to sucker punch you one day. I'm going to show up at your work and punch you in the back of the head.
Sweet.
Miro got a custom TNT title, and I love it. It's crazy how AEW has two of my favorite things in wrestling right now, just period, between Miro and Hangman.
I was going to say Miro and that belt, apparently.
And there's a lot of stuff that, like, I know it's easy and it's in vogue to just shit on WWE. And some things they very much deserve. But there's a lot of stuff I love in wrestling right now. So, but, like, those two are
up at the top. The Hangman angle, the fact that it's been going for 3 years now, and we're finally getting to see it really, like, build.
See, but part, oh man, this is, we need to do this another time, but I don't know if this is actually where it ends. I don't think he wins.
Well,
I'm not convinced.
We're getting to the climax of the story.
But are we?
Or at least we're hitting the first conflict. Like, we're getting that.
Yeah.
Superman and Batman are touching for the first time. That's what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Like, we still have, like, a bunch to go, but we're finally getting to the fun part.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, when because this is eventually going to lead to a match for the title. Like, it's made, like, that challenge was made and accepted, unless I misunderstood the segment. But I don't think that challenge is where he wins it.
No,
I think this
not.
Is his. I think this is the one final setback, and then he has to. But I don't know. I could be very wrong. I could just be, you know. And also, it's already been going this long. Does it need to be prolonged? Doesn't matter. Different topic. Moving on. Impact Wrestling has announced a YouTube membership.
So now Shannon has absolutely no reason not to watch Impact.
No, this is a different thing.
Okay.
Like, they have a YouTube channel. This isn't a YouTube channel. This is a paid subscription service through YouTube.
Okay.
Basically, it is, this is from the Impact, the actual press release. There's a level one, which is 99 cents a month. Impact weekly episodes on demand, pro wrestling's blah blah blah, special loyalty badges that will appear next to members' name in comments and in live chats, exclusive community posts including fan polls, insider pictures, and the latest news directly from Impact, and then there is the Impact Insider Ultimate membership, which is $4.99 a month, and it is all the wrestling insider perks that I just read, as well as Hard to Kill, Rebellion, Slammiversary, and Bound for Glory, the big four pay-per-views, available 30 days after the live event, so you can watch it on demand 30 days after it initially airs. It's not like I originally thought of, oh, you get those four pay-per-views for free. No, you get the replays on demand 30 days after. Monthly special events. Impact Wrestling Archive, from Kurt Angle to Abyss and Sting to AJ Styles, relive every legendary pay-per-view from the last two decades of TNA Impact history. Excuse me. Brand new Impact original shows, including Callahan Uncensored, which I don't know what that is, but it's probably nuts. oh God. Money off Impact merchandise, exclusive offers not found anywhere else, and exclusive gifts to use when chatting with wrestlers and other Ultimate Insiders. So, it kind of sounds like this is their version of Impact Network, but they already have that, I thought.
They definitely had it, because it was like that GFW thing.
Yeah, but no, this was after that. This was, like, they had, like, it was like Impact World or something along those lines. But this, I mean, this sounds kind of cool. It's weird that it's only the big four pay-per-views that are getting that 30-day
release.
The 30-day, yeah, on demand. I couldn't think of the word on demand. So, Impact Plus. That's what I'm thinking of. I had to look it up. Video streaming service owned and operated by Anthem. So I guess this is maybe just an alternative.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Impact Plus to be able to help you with that.
Because it was the Global Wrestling Network when it first launched.
Yep. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, but then it rebranded. So, huh. Interesting. Anyway, that's kind of neat. Thought I would bring it up.
Darby.
Yeah, correction to a story that we read last week where it was reported that Darby Allin was going to appear in the new Jackass movie. He has since denied that. There was a tweet that tagged him and a bunch of the other people that were in the movie talking about the Jackass world and all the cameos that were going to be in it, and he was in that, and so he himself retweeted and said, "I ain't in this movie." So, I'm not one to kind of sow the mistrust of pro wrestlers when they say they're not affiliated with something, because, like, worker's gonna work, but at the same time, like, that would be kind of funny if he was just like, "I'm not in Jackass 4," and then, you know, lo and behold, he's actually in Jackass 4.
That's what I think it is. That's what I think it is.
But he's saying he's not. We got to take him at his word, at least for now. So whenever the movie comes out, we will see for sure. But if don't buy a ticket expecting to see Darby Allin.
Yeah.
I didn't know this wasn't official, but Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison both were announced as signing with AEW. I think that was just today. It was today or yesterday.
It was, yesterday or Monday. It was definitely not today.
It wasn't today. Okay. Mm-hmm. Time means nothing to me anymore. But so congratulations to them. It's not the full Varsity Blonde squad because they only named those two. And I don't think she's signed again. I don't know.
It was 2 days ago that Brian Pillman was signed. And I do believe it was just Pillman and Griff Garrison.
No. I know for sure it's just the two of them that were signed. Those were the ones that were announced, but I don't think, it's Julia. Why can't I think of her name? Why am I completely blanking on her name?
I only know Julia. I can't think of her last name either.
Oh, I feel terrible. Julia Hart.
There it is.
Thank you. There it is. God, I'm an idiot. I don't know if she's been signed or if she's also just kind of on a per appearance deal, whatever going on, but since she has been added to their act, it would make sense to also sign her as well. But who knows? We will keep an eye out on that. But that's it for the news of the week. We're going to burn through a couple pay-per-view previews because there's not one, but two pay-per-views this coming week. And Money in the Bank, of course, is Sunday, but Impact Slammiversary is also on Saturday. And not gonna lie, pretty stacked looking card. There's two matches alone that I might end up buying this for, but I haven't decided yet. I also need to see what I'm doing on Saturday if I'm gonna actually have time to sit down and watch it. But going through, Eddie Edwards is going up against W. Morrissey, formerly known as Big Cass. They've had a little bit of a story going forward. It was when Edwards was teaming with Kojima, I think is his name. I feel terrible. He was teaming up with Kojima. Morrissey laid him out and basically is just like, there's no friends in wrestling. I'm going to teach you that the hard way. So they have their match. The Impact Tag Team, Impact Knockouts Tag Team Championships will be defended as Fire and Flava defend against Havoc and Rosemary. That's going to be fun. I'm a big fan of Fire and Flava. And I, even though I love Rosemary and I'm a big fan, I have, the more I see of Havoc, the more I like her. I really do hope that they retain because they just are perfect. Violent by Design, Eric Young, Diener, Joe Doering, and Rhino taking on Rich Swann and Willie Mack. And wait, I misread this. Going back, Impact World Tag Team Championships. In a four-way match as Violent by Design, because I was confused. I was like, wait, this isn't like a multi, like, eight-man tag match. Violent by Design is the current tag team champions. Eric Young, I think, is still injured, even. So it'll be one combination of Diener, Joe Doering, and Rhino. Will be defending the tag titles against Rich Swann and Willie Mack, TJP and Fala Ba, and the Good Brothers. That match is going to be silly, and over the top, and I'm a big fan of the Violent by Design stuff too. The Impact Knockouts Championship will be defended as Deonna Purrazzo defends against Scott D'Amore and Gail Kim's mystery opponent. She beat Lady Frost to retain her title. She claims that everyone, she has beaten everyone there is to beat. There's no one left for her to fight that's on her level, and Gail Kim announced that she will be defending against a TBA challenger. I'm assuming Laurel Van Ness is going to be my guest because she showed up at ROH.
Yeah, last that weekend. Would probably be who it is.
So that is my guess, but that also feels obvious. And Impact likes to kind of, you know, go back to when Rich Swann was the surprise announcement for that championship match, and then it was Eric Young after him. Like, I think they could do a sneaky on us here. But even if it is Laurel Van Ness, that's still kind of cool. Chris Sabin will be going one-on-one against Moose. I am ignorantly excited for that match. I'm a big fan of both of those guys. Sabin is inhuman, and Moose is just like, I feel like the more I watch Moose, the better he gets. It's like the, you know, how they say a watched pot never boils. Mm-hmm. Just like the more that I observe Moose professional wrestle, he just gets better.
He's ignorantly good, and he's been good for like, he's been,
well, he's been good for a really long time. Yeah. Like, this is, it's not like, oh, he's finally turned the corner. No, you know, that young upstart Moose. No, he's been killing it for years. The match that I am most excited for, hands down, Ultimate X is returning for the Impact X Division Championship. Josh Alexander defending against Petey Williams, Trey Miguel, Ace Austin, Chris Bay, and Rohit Raju.
It's going to be dumb.
Fuck, man. Like, hell yeah.
That's going to be super dumb.
And then the Impact World Championship match will be defended in the Impact World Championship is a no disqualification match. It will be defended in a no disqualification match. Boy, it's a good thing no one can hear me talk. Kenny Omega defending against Sammy Callahan, and that's gonna be violent, and it's gonna be cool, and I am also very excited for that match.
Yeah, it's a shame that Omega's gonna win it.
Yeah, I don't think Callahan is gonna be the guy that he drops the Impact title to, unless there's some kind of like shenanigans, because like, I could see Scott D'Amore getting involved. Obviously Don Callis is gonna be there, he's gonna get involved somehow. You know, does Hangman show up? You know, does the Forbidden Door, you know, open this way? Like, do we see maybe Dark Order interference? You know, I think there's a lot of possibilities here. And both of these guys are good enough. It's the same thing we talk about every time, like, you know, Roman defending against Daniel Bryan or Cesaro, where it's like, they're good enough to make me believe.
Yeah, so they're believable. So I guarantee you
there will be a moment in this match that will be me, oh, they're going to do it. Oh, Sammy's about to win this thing, but we'll see. That is Saturday night. Check it out. Impact, again, I can't say enough good things about them. They have been doing great stuff for a very long time now. The days of LOL TNA are long dead and I really hope people are giving Impact a fair shot. On to Sunday's pay-per-view, WWE Money in the Bank. New match added. This is Bayley's injury has really kind of shuffled a lot of things because she was supposed to wrestle Bianca Belair for the women's title, but then that match got changed. I think it actually even got dropped entirely. Yes, it did, because it is not listed on here anymore. So
yeah, we only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
matches.
Six matches, yeah. Yeah, that's what I have.
And it's not the and the SmackDown women's title is not part of that. So I think that match was absolutely was just full on dropped. So AJ Styles and Omos are defending the Raw tag team titles against the Viking Raiders. Also, we need to get our picks written down because we didn't do prediction game for Impact, but we are doing it for.
Oh, I'm already WWE. In the. If you heard me typing while you were talking about Impact, I was getting the paper.
Oh, I did not. Okay, cool. So I don't need to keep track of this. Now, because of the, I'm going to go ahead and just retroactively blame Ben for the loss last pay-per-view, and the shenanigans surrounding championship matches. So we are for championship matches.
It's who leaves with the belt.
We are not predicting who wins the match. We're predicting who leaves with the championship. And to further keep myself from getting screwed over, because if the Viking Raiders lose, but they steal the tag titles, that doesn't count either. It's who is champion leaving the match. It's not who's in physical possession of the belt. I want that on record. Because that's just a
there's a lot of
time before we see that again.
There's a lot of qualifiers on how I stomped that ass last month.
I'm sorry. Oh no, I'm not even. I'm not giving you the satisfaction.
You almost did.
AJ Styles.
You almost
Styles
did.
Styles and almost retain.
That's
that
who
is
I have.
That is Ace's pick.
If you check the Google sheet, I already have all my picks, but I do have AJ and almost as well.
Oh, I'm not gonna have that opened up. So. Roman, let's see. Yeah, screw it. We'll just go from the top bottom from Wikipedia. WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns versus Edge. It's going to be an amazing match. Very, very excited to see it. Roman continues to be champion.
Yep, same.
No way he loses that belt before SummerSlam. God, this fucking match again. Rhea Ripley defends the Raw Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair. I don't know. I hate this. This is the one that I just, because it's
like... Do you want
me
to pick first?
Neither of them are good. Neither of them are bad. Well, I mean, I guess they're both bad, but like, they're not bad. They're heels. They're not like bad in the ring.
Their alignment is not good, guys.
Yes, that is what I'm trying to say. Yes, you pick first. You do your pick.
Rhea.
You picking Rhea?
Yeah.
See, and that's what my heart is telling me. I really think she retains. I think she continues to get the one up on Flair. But it's Charlotte Flair. Why would you ever bet against Charlotte Flair winning a title? Right?
I mean, I...
Especially after everything that's happened so far.
I picked Flair to win the last match and was right, so...
I'm gonna kill you. Like, that. I know that's gonna get me banned from Facebook somehow, even though it's not on Facebook, but like...
That's fine.
The bubbles are gonna stop. Let me come back to that one. I will make a pick by the end of the show.
All right.
Like, because I know we, and again, we have until Saturday morning to lock these in, but I don't want to make my pick right now because I got to stew on that one. The WWE Championship, Bobby Lashley versus Kofi Kingston. Before we actually get to the pick, because I think we're both going to end up picking Lashley, shout out, when I said there's a lot of stuff in WWE that I loved, this is one of them.
Yeah.
The what happened on Monday between Xavier Woods winning with the sneaky pin, which is a great reference from Up, Up, Down, Down. Now he's eventually going to win the title with the big package, to Lashley being like, Kofi was right. I'm going to kill Kofi Kingston at Money in the Bank. Like, I'm going to destroy him. And it's like, it's not the fun in games. We're not partying. We need to get back to business. Hell yeah. Kofi is the best, like, is a fantastic babyface promo. He is a great foil to this killer Lashley. And, like, seeing Lashley get his killer's edge back, you love to see it. But that said, I know, they're going to convince me that Kofi's going to win. I'm going to be very, very sad when he doesn't, because this is my wrestling, you know, smark blind spot of the New Day. Anytime a member of the New Day is in a match, I want them to win it.
Yeah.
But I do think Bobby Lashley retains.
Yeah, I also have Lashley for this.
Okay. The Money in the Bank ladder match for the women's championship match contract. Asuka versus Naomi versus Alexa Bliss versus Nikki Ash versus Liv Morgan versus Zelina Vega versus Natalya versus To Be Determined. Obviously, when that is announced, I'm assuming on SmackDown on Friday, we will, you know, again, we can lock in on Saturday. You go first on this one.
I have Alexa Bliss winning this one.
That's who I was going to pick, but I really don't want to. You know what? I'm going to say it's going to be. Part of me thinks they might hold off on the reveal until Sunday.
Yeah.
And it be a surprise.
I mean, the correct answer is for it to be Shotzi Blackheart, unless you're bringing back Becky Lynch.
Oh, that could, because she did lose her match with the Money in the Bank briefcase during that. I don't think it's going to be Shotzi because I think her and Tegan Nox are securely, firmly in a tag team. And even though, yes, I know Natalya is one half of the current tag team champions, I don't think they're going to put either one of them in this match.
But yes, but let me counteract with, have you seen Shotzi Blackheart wrestle?
Well, yeah, and I also don't want her in this match because I don't want to watch her die.
That's why I think she'll get put in it. Unless it's, if it's not Shotzi, it better be Becky. But if it's Becky, yeah. I don't want to know until Sunday.
Well, and I feel like it could be Carmella too, because she was already like wrestling for that. Like, she was going to be in that spot, I thought. And then it was supposed to be her versus Bianca. And then that just got scrapped. So I think that kind of threw some stuff off. So it may be Carmella too. As of right now, I'm going to put the mystery entrant is going to be the one who wins it. But again, I can change that by Saturday.
Yeah, because so. Whenever it gets announced to Shotzi Blackheart, you're going to be like, I don't want that pick anymore.
Yes, exactly. Because I genuinely think that, and I was already kind of thinking this before you said it, I do think that if they say we're not going to name it until Sunday, it will be Becky. And if Becky's in this match, Becky is winning this match.
You would like to think so, yeah.
I really think that's going to be the full circle of, she had to give up the title at Money in the Bank, and now she's back to win it back.
Yeah.
Or to win back the champion, to win back the briefcase. She's not going to win the title necessarily. So that's my thought process there. Otherwise, I kind of think it might be Liv Morgan. That's if they do say, okay, and it's Shotzi Blackheart on Friday, I've got to switch it to Liv Morgan as of now, but yeah. We'll get it locked in later. And then the Money in the Bank ladder match for the World Championship match contract. Ricochet versus John Morrison versus Riddle versus Drew McIntyre versus Big E versus Kevin Owens versus King Nakamura versus Seth freaking Rollins.
I picked first last time.
Yeah, I know. I'm going Big E.
Good.
I think it's going to be... And this is a great one because, like... I don't mean this as disrespectful to any of the competitors in either of these matches, and I don't mean this as disrespectful to Otis. But Otis winning last year really kind of puts a stamp that literally anyone can win this because they don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Whoever wins this contract may not even get the title match, and it may not even be a sign that, oh, we're going to do something with this person. So I think these matches are very, very difficult to predict. That said, oh man, I really want Naomi. I just realized, like, man, how badly I want Naomi to win, but I don't think she's going to. Anyway, I think there's really not a bad pick in the men's match aside from Ricochet and John Morrison.
Yeah.
They have been put it there. Like, they had that great last man standing match on Monday, but they're kind of in their own little feud. And for whatever reason, I just don't think John Morrison is going to be someone that they want to put the world title on, which is stupid, and I disagree with it. I just think that's how they feel.
Yeah, and I get that. So you pick Big E?
I pick Big E. Who are you picking?
I'm picking... I'm going to pick Seth Rollins.
Also a good pick. Like, there's not really a bad pick, because, like, let me break it down with my thought process real quick. Ricochet and John Morrison, I do think, are out. Riddle could win it. And that could be the breakup of RK-Bro. Because he's claiming he wants to use it for a tag team title shot. But Orton could be like, no, that is a world title match. You're stupid. If you're not going to use it properly, I'm going to use it. And then they feud over the briefcase.
Yeah.
McIntyre, it's his only chance at fighting Bobby Lashley for the title again. Like, that's just, he lost that match at Hell in a Cell. He can no longer challenge for the WWE title. So this is his only ticket back. Or if he doesn't want to do that, he could use it to then go over to SmackDown and get his, avenge his loss to Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Big E, I feel like that's kind of self-explanatory. Like, he's just kind of had that rocket strapped to him. He's stalled out a little bit with this feud with Apollo Crews that seemingly has never ended, but it's someone who the fans want to see. I'm not crazy. Like, it's there. And him versus Roman Reigns, they've been doing a great job of keeping them separate, is money.
Yeah.
I believe that in my heart of hearts. Kevin Owens, I would kind of almost put him in the Ricochet John Morrison tier of very not likely, but that history with Roman is there, and a briefcase cheap cash in on Roman would be, you know, poetic justice kind of.
Yeah. My justification for Seth Rollins is I feel like Roman Reigns is going to drop the belt to Edge at SummerSlam.
No way. That's not even going to be the match.
All right. So anyway, my thought is if Edge ever wins that title, Rollins having the briefcase makes the most sense to me.
Rollins will cash in immediately once someone dethrones Reigns. Oh, I hate that. I don't want that to happen. It's like when Bandido beat Rush at ROH and then he immediately just got beat down. And it's like, oh man, we didn't get to feel good about this at all. I hate that. I hate when they do that, but I also, like, I'm not saying that that won't happen. I'm just saying I hate when they do that.
It'll get a lot of heat.
Oh my gosh.
It'll get a lot of heat.
That's kind of that is also kind of the reason that I think Rollins could win it too, is, but also I could see him just cashing in on Roman.
Yeah. Also,
just be like, hey, remember when I did this to you before? Now you have to keep this in your periphery, tribal chief.
Are we going to have fans for this one? We have to have fans for this one, right? Yeah. So it's going to be Rollins. We had a big goofy one last year. This one's going to, I'm going to say serious Money in the Bank match with the biggest fucking quotations, but you know what I mean when I say it.
That's why I think it's Big E. That's literally part of the reason why I think it's Big E, is because that's going to be the one that the fans are most excited to see. Unless this is, granted, this is probably going to end up being like the first match. So if it is the first match, then it could go a different way. But if this is the main event, I genuinely think that for the first pay-per-view back, it's only the second show post-Thunderdome. I'm not counting WrestleMania because they were still doing Thunderdome stuff. But like SmackDown is going to be the first show not at the Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm.
And then Money in the Bank will be in front of people. I do think that they want to end that on a big high note as like a big welcome back. And then King Nakamura, he could win it because who knows what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, he's always the wild card.
He's very much kind of a wild card in this match too. So,
but don't be fooled whenever Lashley beats Kingston in the main event. Because that's what the last match... No, it won't. It'll be Reigns versus Edge. Whenever Reigns beats Edge in front of fans again.
See, that's why I kind of think they're going to do... I think that they bookend the show with Money in the Bank ladder matches. Or they could just have Roman versus Edge start things off. Or Lashley versus Kingston. I don't know. I'm not in charge of putting this show together. So it's not up to me.
Yeah.
But I do think that... Although... Oh, no. But if they do the championship matches before the ladder match, then there's not that possibility of, because Seth Rollins even teased, maybe I'll cash it in that same night.
Because, like, Alexa Bliss did that.
Yeah.
And Ambrose.
Kane did that.
Ambrose also did that.
Yep. Because that was that was the one that was all three members of the Shield were WWE champion on the same night.
Yep, that was 2016.
Because Roman, Seth won it from Roman, and then Ambrose cashed in on Seth.
Yup.
So. But that is our picks for Money in the Bank.
At Flair and Rhea, you didn't go back to it.
Oh shit! I could legit wasn't trying to duck it. Completely forgot.
Yep.
So we both have different picks for Money in the Bank.
I'm gonna let you know that all of our matches are the same except for Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
So there's a solid chance if you pick Rhea, and I won't blame you for picking Rhea. I think it's the safe choice because this is kind of a placeholder pay per view for the most part. I think I won't be upset with you if you pick Rhea, but there's a solid chance that we are going to tie.
Oh, see, here's the thing. I am not making my picks based on what you think, motherfucker. I am doing with what I think is right.
You should, because I won last month.
Congratulations, you're on the board.
It doesn't matter who's won the most, it matters who won last.
That's not it at all. That is not how this goes. Then let's just wait until WrestleMania. Oh, I hate you.
Just wait for
also
me
to... spoiler alert, I'm not getting this edited tonight.
That's fine.
It's going up tomorrow night. No, because... I could talk myself into a circle until I'm dead.
Do you want to wait till Saturday and then I'll lock it in?
No. Because, again, I could change it. And I'll probably change my mind a million times, but I'm not going to... I will tell you on Saturday what my final choices are between the Women's Money in the Bank and this match. Right now, my main train of thought is neither of them are faces, which is weird coming into live crowds again.
Yeah.
So, what they could do... No, never mind. I'm saying Charlotte... for now.
Okay. I will be happy to update the Facebook page, Podzilla page, that you've changed your answer on Saturday.
Oh yeah, no, like, we'll, you know, it's again, and this is between us, where we are competing with honor here. Basically, my thought process is I don't think they're happy with the Rhea Ripley experiment right now, so if you put the belt on Charlotte, you can have an actual babyface chase her.
Yeah.
And I could see them doing that with Nikki A.S.H. Because she's already been injected in this feud. They've already had that crossover, and you can have Flair be her dismissive. You look ridiculous. You're what are you, a child? You know, thing. And then you have, you know, wholesome as hell Nikki A.S.H. actually compete and, like, you know, see if the crowd wants to see her be the one to dethrone the queen again. Whereas, you know, you could have a Nikki A.S.H. versus Rhea Ripley match would be killer. I would love to see that. I just don't think that it has that, you know... I just wish either one of these characters were more defined. That's what's screwing me here. But,
and the Thunderdome doesn't do a lot to help that either, in fairness to you.
Like, I mean, a little bit, but even, possibly, like, we could see a little bit more of, you know, how people are going to be received... but I don't know. But again, I'll probably change my mind a million times. It's fine. People are sick of hearing me hem and haw on this. So that's going to do it for us. Pro Wrestling Unscripted, another week. Thank you so much, everybody. We are working. We're going to look into Dalton's camera issue. So hopefully we'll get back to, we tried to do it on my Twitch, earlier tonight, but just the camera delay that comes in, it might just be an Apple thing. So, but we'll see what happens. We'll keep you updated. But if you're, go ahead and give us a like on the facebook.com/podzilla1985 anyway. You can watch the other shows that get recorded live. We did Nerd Up on Monday. We of course have I Want to Believe, PZ85 After Dark, Horse Time. There's a ton of fun stuff that we do every week. PZ85 Plays. Come and hang out with us. Podzilla1985.com, of course, for the podcasting. We're available anywhere you're listening to podcasts. Give us a review, give us a thumbs up, give us a follow, share us with your friends. You can get your Dalton Anthony merch at prowrestlingtees.com/Dalton Anthony. I got the website right this time because I am a professional. You can follow me on Twitch and on Twitter at the 5-star man, that is with the number 5. Thank you, everybody, for listening and hanging out with us. Let us know who you think's going to win Money in the Bank. Let us know what match you're excited for Slammiversary. But until next week, and we'll see who wins. We'll see who I ended up actually picking. Everyone have a great night. Stay safe. And we appreciate you so very much.